Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and Shea Spillane with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636 remains our telephone number, 855-915-WMFO. If you prefer letters to words. Yes, our phone number is also our call sign.
Yes, remember those old things that our used to be like attached to wires and stuff?
Yeah, radios.
Yeah.
You may still have one in your car or in your
home
that you use to listen to this program. And if you do, good on you. Radios are awesome.
They are awesome. I'm a big fan.
Radios. Everybody should have a radio.
That's what my favorite was my dad's and his 1970 VW Bug. You had to like shake it to get FM stations.
Nice. Nice. It is non-exoneration week here on The Big Picture, Shea Spillane.
Oh, yes.
A lot of people are...
It truly is.
A lot of people are claiming to be exonerated who are not, in fact, exonerated. Usually you get one of these in a year, and you're lucky. We got two in a week. So we'll be talking about people who aren't really exonerated at some point tonight.
And I purposely, to be honest, our regular listeners know that Derek and I each, obviously, religiously view every news source and come up with stories to talk to you about. And I purposely left the two exonerations that I'm thinking about for Derek because I know he's going to be so passionate about them that I was like, you know what? I'm just going to let him drop kick this one.
So thoughtful of you.
Baby, I got your back.
So thoughtful of you. So we've got a lot to get to tonight.
We really do.
So locally, Shay, what do we got going on? What's happening?
For me, this is the first time I've used this news source, and I can't believe that because I'm going to use it forever now. The Boston Police Department actually has a news website.
Nice.
I did not know that. But
I would consider that a news site biased in favor of the police.
Well, yes.
Just as a general note.
But if you want to find out about crime, I mean, they're the guys who are learning about it first.
Yeah, that's true. They probably know a thing or two about crime over there.
But, Yesterday, members of the Youth Violence Strike Force made an on-site arrest and recovered a loaded firearm in the area of Talbot Avenue and Nightingale Street in Dorchester. As part of the department's ongoing efforts to remove illegal firearms from neighborhoods in Boston, multiple officers conducted a motor vehicle stop of a taxi in the area of that location. And during the stop, there was a guy who was one of the fares in the taxi who was found with the .22 caliber.
Oops.
Loaded with 10 rounds.
Oops.
On the floor behind the driver's seat in the rear of the taxi. Yes, of course, the customer was taken into custody. He's expected to be arraigned in Dorchester District Court on charges of unlawful possession of a firearm, unlawful possession of ammunition, and this is my favorite phrase ever, unlawful possession of a large capacity feeding device.
Yikes.
I think this is amazing. Like, it obviously, in the wake of the things that have happened over the past several years, enforcing gun laws is very important. And especially in areas like Dorchester or Roxbury or Mattapan, you really, it's very hard to regulate because so many people illegally have firearms.
Right.
But this is a wonderful way to stop it. Just be like, guess what? We're the police. We can do this. We're just going to stop every single car.
I like it.
Like, yeah. And that's the thing, is that it's so simple, but so effective. Like, they found this guy who had a loaded handgun in a taxi.
Yeah.
God knows he may have been on his way to his girlfriend's work or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, it seems like such a simple concept to just do a stop and search, but
the thing about
it can actually be very effective.
The thing about enforcement like this is it sends a message to people who would be interested in trafficking firearms into the Boston area that there is an above average chance that you're going to get caught. And the thing that we know about criminals, generally speaking, is that criminals do not like to get caught. And given a choice between...
Yes, 9 times out of 10, that's true.
Given a choice between Boston, where police are stopping cars and looking for guns, and Worcester, where they are not, they will take their guns to Worcester. And then that becomes Worcester. And then they bring them from Worcester into Boston, but it's still the same thing. You know, it's like, yeah, this is the kind of policing that works. Someone will probably be jumping up and down and screaming about racial profiling as a result of this.
Well, it's just like, if you think about it, I mean, there have been so many wars fought in our country that have been successful, or in our country or abroad, that have been successful as a result of guerrilla warfare. It's
yeah.
kind of the same thing, where it's just like, hey, you didn't expect us, but here we are.
I would put it to the Boston police that you don't need to set up a roadblock if you want to search cars. All you got to do is just walk down Commonwealth Avenue or Beacon Street, or Arlington Street, or Newberry Street, where everyone is stuck at traffic lights and intersections, and just knock on the door and look in the window. You get through a lot more cars that way.
That's true.
And you know, you'll make it harder for people to just avoid the roadblock.
That's very true.
A lot of places in Boston where you can do this because
because
the traffic's not moving.
Yeah, I mean, even the two of us trying to get here tonight. Thanks for that super awesome construction plan, Medford and Somerville.
Surprise!
Because it made it so much fun for us to get to our centrally located radio station.
For those of you who may have heard that Powderhouse Bridge construction was going to start on April 1st, it started already. Surprise!
Isn't that cute? Wait.
Yeah. Here's,
Wait, Derek. But isn't April 1st on Sunday?
April? No, it's Monday, actually.
Really?
April Fools, we started the construction early.
BPD, you're so adorable.
Yeah.
Though I guess that would technically be... Is that still Somerville? It's like just on the line.
I don't know if that bridge... I think that bridge might actually be in Medford.
Because it's like where Peenie's Pizza is like...
Yeah.
Somewhere right along.
It's in that no man's land that is somewhere between Somerville and Medford.
Where you're like, what town am I in?
I think it's one side of the street is Somerville and the other side of the street is Medford, and the bridge is in the middle of the street. So
And the green grass grows all around, and the green grass grows all around.
But I believe it is a Medford-owned bridge. So I think it's Medford that we have an issue with.
Yes, ownership is the importance in determining where something is.
Yeah. So by the way, if you're thinking of coming over to the Powderhouse Square area or the Davis Square area or, you know, Ball Square, don't. Just don't. It's going to be a nightmare over here. For how long are they even going to be doing this? Do we know?
Well, based on how the big dig went, I'm guessing 25 years.
Yeah, 2024 they'll be done with this. Yeah, I don't know. So, yeah.
Oh,
so,
goodness gracious me.
Be aware that there is excess traffic in this area if you're inclined to come over here.
Big, giant heads up.
And what I'm really going to say is if you're coming over here to, like, punch me in the nose because of something that I said, it's not worth it with the traffic. We'll let you know when the traffic's gone, and then you can feel
like
free to...
That's like a fringe benefit for you.
Yeah, then you can feel free to come over and punch me in the nose. Stunning developments, Shea Spillane. I'm going to call these stunning developments because...
My ears are open.
This strikes me as something hugely risky that I would not expect the parties involved in this to do. But here we go. New England from the Boston Herald. New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft pleads not guilty, seeks jury trial. Patriots owner Robert Kraft.
I was going to say, you're going to have to say that again.
Patriots owner Robert Kraft entered a further not guilty plea and is seeking a trial by jury on his charges of soliciting prostitution. Kraft had been due in court Thursday, that's tomorrow, to be arraigned on charges that he patronized prostitutes at the Orchids of Asia Massage Parlor in Jupiter, Florida, twice during the weekend of the Pats AFC Championship game in January. Side note. One of my NCAA brackets, one of my March thing that I can't say on the air brackets, is called Orchids of Asia.
March angriness.
And I hope it wins. Kraft's attorneys Tuesday waived the appearance, entering a plea of not guilty, and requested a jury trial. Kraft, who was one of 24 men charged
so absurd.
In a big prostitution bust last month, was previously reported to have been offered a deferred prosecution agreement. Now, we talked about this a week or so ago. They basically said, plead guilty, you'll pay a fine, and everybody goes home. And, of course, everybody involved in this is going to say no to that. All right? Palm Beach County prosecutors say they have videos of the Patriots owner and the other men buying and receiving sex acts, which are spelled out in a police affidavit. Kraft and the other men continue to fight the release of the videos, which come from cameras police say they set up in the spa. Kraft's lawyers insist that the various evidence prosecutors say they have, the video surveillance and the traffic stop, was obtained illegally and therefore isn't admissible in court. Now,
that's one of the things that's so funny about our legal system is saying, like, we know this happened, but the evidence you're presenting, we have to throw it out. So by our legal system, we can't actually charge you with it.
The flip side of this is this. Is America ready for the Robert Kraft sex tape? Because somewhere...
I don't know if America would ever be ready for the Robert Kraft sex tape.
Somewhere sitting in an evidence lockup in, I think this is Broward County. I think that's where Jupiter is. I'm not 100% sure on that. Somewhere in an evidence lockup in California, there is a videotape that we have been led to believe shows Robert Kraft, elderly owner of the New England Patriots, engaged in sex acts with two middle-aged Asian women.
Ugh. Why did you...
This is what the police say they have.
I don't want that picture in my brain.
Buying and receiving sex acts. Now, I'm kind of curious to know, like, what... You know, I understand if you buy one woman, what you're getting. I'm kind of interested to know if you buy two, you know, what that looks like and how that works. But at the same time, no, I don't think I want to see any of these people involved exposing their genitals or doing whatever it is going on in these videos.
Like, I mean, the Tonya Harding sex tape was hard enough to watch.
Yeah. Hopefully it's blurry and out of focus, but I get the feeling it's not.
And that you can chalk a lot of it up to the 80s.
This strikes me as a huge, huge risk. Because what I expected when they turned down the plea deal from the prosecutors down in Florida was that the defendants were all going to enter nolo contendere pleas. And for those who don't know the law, nolo contendere basically says, I accept your finding against me, but I do not admit guilt. So it goes in as a closed case. It goes in as a successful prosecution. You pay a fine. It's usually more than you'd pay if you'd gone through the jury process. You are not found guilty, so it cannot go on your record as a guilty verdict, but you are basically admitting the circumstances of the case. Rich people love nolo pleas. Because nolo pleas, basically, if you have the money, you're buying off the court to say, don't call me a guilty person. What they're doing instead is trying to expunge the record entirely and trying to say that this crime never happened because the evidence is inadmissible. If this thing goes sideways, this is going to be really, really bad. And if this thing goes sideways, whether we want to or not, we are going to find the Robert Kraft sex tape floating around on the internet.
Oh, of course. You can find anything on the internet.
There is no way that this goes to a jury trial without that tape leaking somewhere, somehow, some way, and being out there. And then Shay and I have to watch it, even though we don't want to, because
it's part of our job.
Because it's part of our job. All right. Please just take the nolo plea. I'm begging you. It's not an admission of guilt.
Just for our own eyesight, if he could take it.
I am stunned by this. And I am stunned that, you know, I mean,
and we talked last week about difficult videos we've had to watch.
Yeah.
But that would be...
I'd be up there.
Top tier.
Can't unsee.
Not unsee, especially, I'm just picturing him and in national news.
This is the thing. It's like, usually I think of these guys as being kind of cautious, kind of conservative. You know, the people who have a lot of money tend to be. They take calculated risks. They don't take huge risks. And if you've got some lawyer telling you, oh no, we can get the evidence thrown out, that's a huge risk. Versus taking a nolo plea, which is no risk. Then you get everything sealed. It gets thrown in a vault somewhere and forgotten. And you never have to worry about the tape, the Robert Kraft sex tape, seeing the light of day. Jury trial? Guess what's going to happen if this actually goes to trial? The Robert Kraft sex tape will be played in an open court. Although, if this actually goes to a jury trial, they will suddenly work out some kind of plea deal.
That is true.
So this is an attempt by the rich and powerful to make the crime go away by getting rid of the evidence. Because then you have to clear the record entirely. That's what they're going for here.
Well, that's what I said is while I think there are so many things about the American legal system that are dope, that's one of the downfalls is like the way that it's set up. It's, you know, innocent until proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt.
Yeah.
And if evidence is... As you said, if evidence is presented that doesn't go along with the bylines of that statute, basically, then it can just not be part of it. You have to just erase it from your memory, which is in a lot of cases fantastic, but also in a lot of cases, you sit there and be like, we all know he's guilty.
Yeah.
And we can't say it because of the way our legal system is set up.
I'm pretty sure if this videotape ever sees the light of day, it's going to be beyond a reasonable doubt. and you know, given the NFL's past history with video that surfaces of people doing bad things, I would think there would be 31 other NFL owners.
Oh, 31? God, you're undershooting.
No. But I would think there would be 31 other NFL owners in Robert Kraft's ear saying, what are you doing, guy? take the NOLO plea. Get away from this. This is a bad idea.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a rich dude thing in general.
Because here's the thing.
Just take a plea deal. if you want your name to be less muddy, then just take the plea deal, pay a bunch of people, and pray everyone get...
No matter what, this is going in your obituary, Mr. Kraft. whether you take a NOLO plea, whether you successfully get this evidence quashed.
Do you want to seem like kind of a jerk or a gigantic jerk?
This is a footnote. This is a footnote that gets remembered. You, sir, have not been exonerated. It is non-exoneration week here on The Big Picture.
Oh, well, in way more chipper news, in national news, Education Secretary, I'm sorry, I'm reluctant to call her that, but Betsy DeVos struggled before a subcommittee on Tuesday to defend the administration's proposal to cut at least $7 billion from education programs, including eliminating all $18 million in federal funding for the Special Olympics. When Representative Mark Pocan from Wisconsin, a member of the House Appropriations Subcommittee, asked whether DeVos knew how many children would be affected by cutting Special Olympics funding, DeVos said she did not know. I do.
Give me a number.
110.
I need a more accurate number than that. 110 is not a real number.
Well, that's the thing, is that he asked that question. That's why I included that as part of the story, is that I'm not the education secretary. I probably have a better idea of how many children this would affect than Betsy DeVos. But
I'm going to doubt that simply on the basis that she has actual facts and figures in front of her that you do not.
But it's...
Jacques Hughes. I'm putting my finger here right now. Jacques Hughes, where are your facts and figures?
But it's fine. Do you want me to... Well,
Jacques Hughes.
If you had let me finish my sentence.
Yeah.
The reason is it's all relative, because you can't... There's no appropriate figure to present, because cutting $7 billion from education programs and eliminating the $18 million that go to the Special Olympics, it's like, okay, so you're affecting everyone who's involved in the Special Olympics. So that's, okay, that's $7 billion minus $18 million. That means that it's $6 billion. Why is my brain working right now? $6,982,000,000 that is being cut from other programs. Meaning, you can't really fathom how many children that's going to affect.
Right.
But one can imagine if you, I could make a musing about it, thinking how many people are in the Special Olympics, and then the other various educational programs that are going to not exist anymore because of this.
5 million, by the way. That's their
estimation.
That's their estimate.
But that's what I'm saying, is that the reason, it's not because I...
That's worldwide, by the way.
It's not because I'm unprepared or undereducated about this subject. It's because you really can't... You can't totally pinpoint how many people this would affect.
There's been... Well, you can, because there's a hard number somewhere.
Yeah, you know. But it's all kind of relative, especially given, if you think about it, you know, this is going to affect kids that haven't been born yet. This is going to affect people who would have had jobs in some of these programs. It's all very relative.
Here is where our listeners can sit back and call me a monster, because I'm going to say I don't have a problem with it.
Oh, other people call you a monster?
Yeah. I'm going to sit back and I say I don't have a problem with it. It is $18 million, okay? If 1/10 of the people who contributed money to the Southern Poverty Law Center gave that money to the Special Olympics instead, they would have that money. It's not, there are certain things where, like, the government is spending, you know, a few million dollars here and a few million dollars there. The National Endowment for the Arts has come up again, where you have to look at it as through a balance sheet, which is what the Trump administration, that's how they view the world. But you have to look at it through a balance sheet and ask yourself, what are our administrative costs to distribute this money? And is this not better off going back into the private sector? Can, because
you sound like my brother.
Because anybody who, but here's the thing, anybody who looks at this from a business standpoint is going to say, yes, it would be more efficient to get that $18 million in the private sector, as a, which they're already a charitable organization. What you lose, really, because people will jump up and down and say, oh, we can't survive without the money. You know, NPR has lost almost all of their federal funding, and they're doing just fine. They've lost huge amounts of it.
But that's because people love NPR.
It's because people donate to them, right? NPR was set up to be a government, you know, educational...
That's why it's called National Public Radio.
Broadcast system. And over the years, it has evolved to a point where it didn't really need its federal funding anymore. The Special Olympics was set up by Eunice Kennedy to be a federal program. You know, that was the seed money for it. And it has grown and it has evolved. It is a global organization now that may or may not need federal funding. The National Endowment for the Arts. There's plenty of arts funding out there. You don't need to go to the feds to get your grant to do your arts. But here's where I think that thinking falls short. There is a legitimacy that is conferred on these organizations like the National Endowment for the Arts, like NPR, like the Special Olympics, when the federal government is involved. Because we can sit back all day and talk about the bad things that the government does, right? We see them all the time. But whenever somebody is like, oh yeah, America, you know, you're a bunch of idiots and, you know, you're a bunch of money-grubbing capitalists and all the rest of this, you can step back and say, well, wait a minute. We support the arts. We support kids with special needs. We support educational television. These are feel-goods for the government. And even if the balance sheet math doesn't quite work out, you can find $18 million somewhere. And even if you're spending, you know, $2 million. I think when you get to a point where the federal government is spending $30 million to distribute $18 million, then it has to go. I would imagine that right now we're probably spending somewhere around $2 million or $3 million to distribute $18 million. And it's like, in the private sector, that management expense would be like 1 or 2%.
I was going to say it would be like in the six figures, not the seven.
Yeah, it'd be way lower. So the Special Olympics, National Endowment for the Arts, would actually do better. They would have more money for their programs without the federal involvement. But as something that we as Americans can look at and say, you know what, for everything else that's going on out here, some of my tax dollars are supporting this. I think we feel good about it. And by the way, what are they going to do with the $8 billion that they're saving here? Is that, are we building?
Hopefully buy me a pony.
Is that money for the wall? Is this money for the wall?
I mean, God, please let it be, if only so we can stop listening to him talk about it.
Mike Pence came out yesterday and said, we got to get back to the moon. And the first thought that went through my mind was, yeah, we got to get up there and build a wall to keep the Mexicans out. That's what the Trump administration is like. We need walls on the moon now. And Space Force to defend our walls on the moon.
Because the Mexicans are so into going to a place where there's no oxygen or gravity.
They come here. They move to Washington. I don't think there's any oxygen there.
Well, in global news.
Whoa.
I thought we were done.
Wait your turn. You just...
Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't do your national yet.
No, I...
You just ranted so long on mine. I forgot.
It wasn't that long.
It's very long. if you want to stop me, then say something.
There are reasons why this is happening, by the way. And we'll... It's a bigger theme that we have to get into at some point, and I want to get into at some point, but...
What?
why they're making all these nickel and dime cuts and why all of this stuff is happening in Washington.
Because this great experiment called the United States of America is failing. Is that why?
No, no. As much as you may like it to.
I don't want it to. I just know it's going to.
Unless you are an MSNBC viewer, which Shea Spillane is. Shea subsists on a diet of MSNBC and the Huffington Post.
I beg your pardon. Hey, half of the stories I reference are from either Reuters or CNN or Fox News sometimes, as long as they're not, you know, barrels of idiocy. So don't pigeonhole me.
Okay. All right. Becky with the good hair.
Shut up. Just because my hair is good doesn't mean I'm Becky with the good hair. Jesus H.
No. Back on point here. I adore you, and you are a smart and capable woman who deserves a better co-host than me.
Biggity boom.
Unless you are an MSNBC viewer, you know that our long national nightmare ended on Sunday with the release of the Barr letter. That is Attorney General William Barr sent a letter to Congress, as he is expected to do. He's not required to do this, by the way, but this is one of the things that is proscribed because the Mueller investigation is over.
Oh, praise Jesus. Hallelujah.
We have not talked about the Mueller investigation much.
Mostly because we got bored of talking about the Mueller investigation.
We have not been MSNBC or CNN where it's Russia, 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 24. You know, every week we come in and it's like, more Russia, more Russia. In part because the investigation was going. And there's no point in speculating until you have the results of the investigation in front of you. We still do not. And we will never see the entire Mueller report. I will tell you that right now. We will never, ever, ever see the entire Mueller report.
It's just like how you want to see footage of a mass shooting. Like, not because you're gross, but just because you're interested.
And we'll get to that piece in a second. Upon the presentation of the Mueller report to the Attorney General, which, by the way, how bizarre is it, Shay, that this is the way that it's set up? You appoint a special prosecutor to investigate the White House, right? The Attorney General, who works at the whimsy, especially in this White House, at the whimsy, who serves at the whim of the president, is the one that processes all the information. That seems to be a bad arrangement. It seems to me that that information probably ought to go directly to the Senate or the House Judiciary Committee.
Yeah, no, the people that are supposed to be doing things.
But the way the law is written, the special investigator does his work, completes his investigation, sends that to the Attorney General, and the Attorney General then has three options. The Attorney General can turn everything over to Congress, which has happened in the past, but not in the recent past. He can send a summary letter to Congress, and he can release the report to the American people. He's not required to do any of those things, by the way. There's no, he can, but there's no compulsion under the law to do it. He can take the report and be like, okay, great, thanks. Nice working with you. And just throw it in a cave along with the Robert Kraft sex tape, and it never sees the light of day. The American people won't stand for that. This has been 2 years of ginned up nonsense and hype. One thing that I will say, I was critical of the Mueller investigation because I assumed that they had spent a lot of money on this. We've got some numbers in now, and it actually paid for itself. So another feather in Robert Mueller's cap. They spent about $30 million on this investigation, like the government did, and they got that money back in fines. So well done.
Yes, bravo.
I want Mueller to run for president. So Attorney General Barr sent a letter to Congress on Sunday offering his summary of what is in the report. I'm not going to read you the whole thing. It is freely available online, and as I always say, primary sources.
I was going to say, we had a whole discussion about this last week.
You know the letter is online. It is online in easy to read text form on CNN. You can go there and you can look at it, and you should read it, and you should read everything that it has to say. But I'll give you a couple of pieces of this that are relevant. This is from our Attorney General, William Barr. On Friday, the special counsel submitted to me a confidential report explaining the prosecution or declination decisions he has reached as required by 28 CFR 600BC. Those are all, that tells you where in the volumes of United States laws you can find the exact paragraph and sentence and clause that tells you what needs to happen. This report is entitled Report on the Investigation into Russian Interference in the 2016 Presidential Election. Although my review is ongoing, I believe that it is in the public interest to describe the report and to summarize the principal conclusions reached by the special counsel and the results of his investigation. In the report, I'm jumping ahead, the special counsel noted that in completing his investigation, he employed 19 lawyers who were assisted by a team of approximately 40 FBI agents, intelligence forensic accountants, and other professional staff. The special counsel issued more than 2,800 subpoenas, executed nearly 500 search warrants, obtained more than 230 orders for communication records.
My goodness.
Issued almost 50 orders authorizing use of pen registers, made 13 requests to foreign governments for evidence, and interviewed approximately 500 witnesses. A pen register, for those who don't know, is a a pen register is an all-encompassing term for a wiretap. A pen register can tell you the phone numbers that someone dialed. It can take meta information from email. It can also be used to get the contents of those phone calls and emails, if you so desire. So what do we have here? 50 pen registers were used. So remember when Donald Trump said my wires were tapped? Is right.
Oh, I'm nodding.
He was correct about
Sometimes
that.
Sometimes I forget you guys can't see me.
So 500 witnesses, pretty thorough investigation, I'd say, Shay. Pretty thorough.
Yeah.
The special counsel's report, I'm skipping ahead again, is divided into two parts. The first describes the results of the special counsel's investigation into Russia's interference in the 2016 U.S. presidential election. The report outlines the Russian effort to influence the election and documents crimes committed by persons associated with the Russian government in connection with those efforts. The report further explains that a primary consideration for the special counsel's investigation was whether any Americans, including, and this is important, Bill Barr, William Barr, the Attorney General, is a lawyer. If you have ever been around lawyers, if you have ever read a legal document, you know that lawyers do not use any word lightly. Their language is very precise and very carefully chosen.
It's very purposeful.
A primary, and I got to read the sentence again, a primary consideration for the special counsel's investigation was whether any Americans, that word any, that means you, Shay, that means me. That means Yahoo sitting in Indiana knocking back a couple of Budweisers right now.
I love that you choose Yahoo as the name.
Any Americans, including individuals associated with the Trump campaign, and that should say including but not limited to individuals associated with the Trump campaign. Robert Mueller looked at this and said, did anyone in the United States, did any American citizen conspire with the Russians to influence our investigation, in particular these folks in the Trump organization and the president? But did anyone in America do this? Special counsel's investigation did not find that the Trump campaign or anyone associated with it conspired or coordinated with Russia in its efforts to influence the 2016 U.S. presidential election.
So why have we been following this story for like 2.5 years?
As the report states, and William Barr quotes, the investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities, end quote.
My brain's about to explode.
Robert Mueller says we're all off the hook. Robert Mueller says we are all good Americans. who did not conspire with the Russians.
Well, I don't know if we're good Americans just based on that, but in that regard, yes.
The report's second part, and I'm skipping ahead again, addresses a number of actions by the president, most of which have been the subject of public reporting that the special counsel investigated as potentially raising obstruction of justice concerns. After making a, quote, thorough factual investigation, end quote, into these matters, the special counsel considered whether to evaluate the conduct under department standards governing prosecution and declination decisions, but ultimately determined not to make a traditional prosecutorial judgment. The special counsel therefore did not draw a conclusion one way or the other as to whether the examined conduct constituted obstruction. Instead, for each of the relevant actions investigated, the report sets out evidence on both sides of the question and leaves unresolved what the special counsel views as, quote, difficult issues, end quote, of law and fact concerning whether the president's actions and intent could be viewed as obstruction. The special counsel states that, quote, while this report does not conclude that the president committed a crime, it also does not exonerate him. End quote.
Oh my goodness.
It's
just like every relationship I've ever had. So, while he's not your boyfriend, he's not not your boyfriend.
So, there are two questions that this report addresses. Did anyone in the United States conspire with the Russians to influence the 2016 presidential election? No. At least as far as the president and his campaign is concerned, no one worked with the Russians. And Barr mentions
Russians
in the letter
way to put it.
That they were approached several times. The Russians kept knocking on the door being like, hey, want some compromise?
Hey, homie.
Would you like a compromise, comrade?
Spasiba.
Would you like vodka?
That's the only thing I know how to say in Russian, other than yet.
Would you like special vodka? Reserve Putin. They showed up. They were like, oh, we are here to help you defeat the Clinton. And and people in the Trump organization were like, no, we're fine. Thank you. We're not selling out our country to you today. Thank you. That's a good thing. That is a good thing. So we can put collusion to bed. We can put Russians to bed. Russians interfered in our election. Of course they did.
If I had a nickel.
They do every time.
Yeah.
We interfere in their elections.
Yeah. It's like, that's what I love, is that we always act as though like the U.S. and Russia are these two completely separate entities. But we're always colluding in some way with, they're the other gigantic country. Of course we are.
I'm going to guess that you are among the Americans, Shay Spillane, who was disappointed in this report.
Yes and no. Yes, in that I wanted an ironclad reason to kick the orange dummy out. No, in that I've heard so much about it, and it's all been kind of like, I keep hearing so much about it, and everything has been so incredibly inconclusive and so incredibly like, okay, I keep hearing about this inquiry, but the inquiry has done nothing.
Right.
We've learned nothing. And why bother doing an inquiry if you're not going to get results? Like, so I'm honestly, at this point, it's kind of like, it's like jelly sandals in the late 80s and early 90s. It's like, okay, enough.
That's a very reasonable, question to ask, by the way. Why do it if it's not going to amount to anything?
Yeah.
And one of the things that to me has been,
which I think it came from the wrong place.
One of the things that to me has been fascinating about this is watching MSNBC and CNN and other outlets go all in on this thing. Where all you got every night for 2 years, Russia, Russia, Russia. Here's the latest on Russia. Here's what we got on Russia. Bombshell news on Russia. Bombshell report. Bombshell congressional testimony that all turned out to be nonsense.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I think ever since the Cold War, it's like we've been, or even before that, I suppose, but it's like we've been trained to be afraid of Russia when actually for at least 30 years, they haven't really done anything to make us scared.
No.
It's just kind of trendy to be like, oh, let's attack Russia. Or, and I don't mean necessarily, I don't mean attack by like bomb or military, you know what I mean? I just mean like even verbally. It's always just like, oh, this is an easy target, again, verbally. And it always turns out to be like, they're just hanging out wearing fur coats and drinking vodka. Like the
thing is,
they're chilling.
Russia is our rival. Russia is certainly our rival when it comes to...
It's the Red Sox-Yankees thing.
Wanting to project political influence, wanting to have economic power, those sorts of things. Russia is not our enemy. Russia isn't sitting around saying, we will destroy Americans. We will destroy the United States. No, that's what Iran does.
Well, North Korea used to do, I guess.
That's what Al-Qaeda and ISIS does. They sit around and they're like, we must smash the Zionists and destroy the United States and kill all their people and wipe them off the face of the earth. Russia just wants to put one over on us. Like, it is Coke and Pepsi. The United States and America. Really, it's Coke and Pepsi.
Like I said, it's the Red Sox and the Yankees.
Yeah.
There's no actual reason for us to hate each other.
Well, there is, because we both want to be the best.
Well, I was going to say, that's the only actual reason for us to hate each other. It's just like, everything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
There's only one Earth, and there's only so many allies and dollars to go around. And we're in a tug of war with each other to see who can get the most. Meanwhile, China just shows up and takes everything, you know? I've been saying for years that we need to be closer with Russia because it's going to take both of us to deal with China.
Well, you're going to have to push a continent to do that.
So the fascinating thing in all of this with the news media is CNN is running from this as fast as they possibly can. CNN actually is starting to look like a real news station again. Fox.
Perish the thought.
Fox never bought into any of this, so they're fine. They get to just keep on doing what they're doing. MSNBC, meanwhile, rode the Russia story to the top of the ratings. Rachel Maddow was rivaling not Tucker Carlson, but the other guy on Fox, Hannity.
Oh,
I can't stand either of them.
I was going to say, I purposely don't remember his name because
I can't stand either of them. Pompous windbags.
That is just the most apt way to describe
it. It is the pot calling the kettle black is what that is.
Oh, no, you're pompous, but you're not. Never mind. Yeah.
Having taken the Trump collusion train to number one in the ratings, Rachel Maddow is now stuck. She can't back away from it because that's her brand. And she has to keep pushing this. One report that's been quoted in a number of places said she's lost 500,000 viewers since Monday.
Wow.
Week over week.
And that's substantial for somebody who reaches that far.
That is about 16% of her audience.
Yeah.
And Chris Matthews, who's on after her, also lost 500,000 viewers. That's close to a third of his audience.
I would say, well, of course, because that's kind of the butterfly effect of things like that is, I even think about, you can't make fun of me. If you make fun of me, I'm going to throw my ginger ale at you. But I have come to love the show Kelly and Ryan, with Kelly Ripa and Ryan Seacrest. I hate Ryan Seacrest, but Kelly Ripa is the most adorable human being in the
world. Kelly Ripa has won me over the years.
I want to build a pocket on every single shirt I own to carry her around in and have her say adorable, quippy things to me over the course of the day.
I think Kristen Bell is a better version of that. Those are my feelings toward Kristen Bell.
Kelly Ripa is like badass Kristen Bell. Kristen Bell is more... like Kelly Ripa is America's sweetheart, but like I fell in love with her when I watched the episode of Broad City that she was on.
Yeah, Kelly's good. I got much love for Kelly.
Like she ordered gigolos for her and Abby, and Abby's like, I have to leave, and she's like, no, I ordered Domino's for after. But the only reason I even know what that show is because my mom leaves a certain channel on for her dog.
Yeah.
So it's like the news and then Kelly and Ryan and then I think it's Steve Harvey after that. But I would never watch that if it didn't just happen to be on when I walked through the room.
It was way...
So it's like a ripple effect of like if Rachel Maddow is losing a good chunk of her visitor,
right.
Her visitors, viewers, sorry. It kind of goes from there because a lot of people will just sit there and be like, oh, this next thing that's probably the same because it's the same channel, whatever.
It was way better when Michael Strahan was the co-host. I'm just going to leave it at that. but anyway...
Kelly Ripa for life.
So they've painted themselves into a corner now. And rather than admit that the thing didn't happen, that there was nothing and that we should move on and be glad that our president is not a tool of a foreign nation, which was absurd on its face to begin with, but I'm going to stop digressing on this. They're now pursuing the obstruction question. They're now like, oh, well, the president Jesus. Was not exonerated on the obstruction charge. No. The president was not exonerated on the obstruction charge. And William Barr actually knew this was coming. Robert Mueller sat down with William Barr 3 weeks ago and said, I'm not going to give you a ruling on obstruction. I'm going to leave that to you because I don't know. And why doesn't he know? Well, the president has the right to fire cabinet members. Just because you're appointed to the cabinet doesn't mean you get to stay. The presidents fire cabinet members all the time.
Yeah, because that's what I've always found fascinating about the cabinet, is like you're appointed, you're not elected.
Right. If you take this obstruction charge as it was originally handed down, because keep in mind that was what triggered the special counsel, was Democrats saying, oh, Donald Trump fired James Comey because he's trying to hide his conspiracy with the Russians. So Robert Mueller goes and investigates this, and he's like, there's no conspiracy with the Russians. President Trump fired James Comey, but it can't be because of a conspiracy because there was no conspiracy, and the president knew this.
WMFO Medford.
Now, we could make the statement broadly, and I think this would hold up legally if you said this, that there was no obstruction of justice in the Russia collusion case, in the Russian conspiracy case, because there was no Russian collusion. Therefore, you can't prosecute the president for obstruction of justice when no underlying crime took place. Where Mueller runs aground, where the ship hits the rocks.
I was going to say, I can tell you want to swear right now, you're really rocking the no FCC fines thing.
Is with the question of, well, did Trump fire Comey because of something else?
Hmm.
Was there something else that he did not want to come out that he was worried about that made him get rid of Comey? And he can't answer that question because he doesn't have the evidence for it. So that's why you can't fully exonerate the president. Now, I think any rational person looking at this is going to say, James Comey was a clown. James Comey was behaving like a clown. James Comey had to go. And James Comey has behaved like a clown since he left office. He is a professional clown and unfit to be the Attorney General of the United States. You may be a
Hillary. You could argue that about a lot of people.
You may be a Hillary Clinton things. Supporter who feels differently. That's fine. I leave you to that.
You're not implying that I'm a...
No. No, but I'm saying that there are plenty of reasonable explanations for why President Trump would have fired James Comey, and that's within his rights as a president.
That's true. I mean, it's just like anything else. Like, you know, I'm the last person to ever defend anything that Dum Dum does. But it's like anything else. It's like when, I mean, my dad owns a law firm. When a paralegal isn't performing properly, he fires them.
Right.
He doesn't feel good about it. He doesn't take pleasure in it. But if you're not performing the way you're supposed to for the way that office is being run, whether it's a law firm or the White House, just kind of is what it is.
And we know with Trump, there's all kinds of, you know, loyalty tests that go along with this, you know? It's like, you got to show up every morning and be like...
does he brand their butts and slap them, like fraternities in the South?
I think he does. You got to show up every morning and be like, yes, I swear my undying allegiance to you, dear leader, Mr. President.
It says WH on the brand.
I will never defy you. But that's the question. So Rachel Maddow is now going to run with this idea that there was some other crime committed and that if we get the full Mueller report, we'll only see it. There's just one problem. We will never, ever, ever see the full Mueller report.
No.
Not in our lifetimes.
Nope. Not in our grandchildren's
lifetime. The reason we won't see the full report is because it is illegal to release the full report. The full report contains three categories of information that cannot be shared with the American people. The first is information that relates to methods of evidence collection. Basically, for lack of a better term, spycraft. Okay, techniques and methods used by prosecutors, used by the FBI, possibly used by the CIA, that are not shared with the American public. Because if you tell people how these investigations work, they don't work as tools anymore. So legally, those cannot be disclosed. The second thing that cannot be disclosed is any information relating to ongoing investigations. We know Robert Mueller handed a big pile of stuff to the district attorney's office in New York, in Manhattan, and that they got a whole bunch of different investigations going right now.
Yeah.
Some of that material was surfaced during this investigation. That will not be shared with the American people. That will be redacted. And you want that to be redacted if you want this president to go to jail, if you want this president to be impeached, because if that information were to come out now, those investigations are effectively over.
Well, and that's, again, what I was referencing earlier. Like, that's the great irony of the way that our legal system works, is sometimes you want something to be added that can't be. Sometimes you want something to be removed that shouldn't be. And it all depends on how you want it to work out in your favor. But that's the way I feel about this whole thing. It's just that you're right. Like, we're not going to learn everything, but that might end up being the downfall of the guy I'm not supposed to say I'd like to be impeached.
Exactly. There is a third category of information in here, and that is information that is defamatory to individuals that was surfaced during the investigation but was never proven. For example, and this is not something that's in the report, I'm making this up. For example, somebody shows up to an interview with Robert Mueller and the attorneys and says, every Saturday night, Donald Trump eats roast bald eagle because it makes him feel like a big man to eat the symbol of America, even though it is an endangered and protected species. Oh, and by the way, he has that with a side of spotted owl eggs. No one has investigated this. This claim has not been proven. Therefore, it cannot be published. Because if it were to be published...
I mean, show us the eggs.
That's libel. That's a libelous thing to publish.
Oh,
and you can sue...
Freedom of the press with all those little contingencies.
You can sue the government of the United States for libel. So they have to go through and they have to remove all of this stuff before the Mueller report can be made public. They want to make it public. They have been very clear they want to make it public. Donald Trump wants to make it public. This is the best political gift he has ever been given in his life. Believe me, he wants it to be seen by the American public. He probably wants to publish it with his name as, like, the biggest word on the cover. In the usual, like, Trump, all capitals, red letters.
It has to be red.
Yeah.
Will there be a tie across it somewhere that's also red?
There are three people working on this right now, and they are working as diligently as they can. We'll get it when we get it. It will be redacted, but we will see it. And this is WMFO Medford, and the FCC likes it when I do this.
This is Nate Bowman from Cal's 2 Fire and Rescue, reminding you to keep your stovetop clean. Keep anything that can catch fire, like pot and pan holders, oven mitts, paper towels, and napkins, away from your stovetop. Clean up food and grease from your stovetop and burners. Pot holders and oven mitts should be easy to reach when you're cooking. Avoid wearing loose clothing and never hold small children while cooking. Although kitchen fires may seem small, never forget how dangerous and devastating a fire can be. When in doubt, get out and call 911 for help. For more information, call your local fire department or go to www.c2fr.org.
Boston 5-day forecast. It's spring now, kids. You wouldn't know it going outside. It's chilly out tonight. Bring a coat. Bring a hat.
It is. It's one of those times where you're like, do I or don't I?
Tonight you do. 32. Going down to freezing. Colder if you're out in the burbs. That's downtown. It's going to be freezing. Below freezing in the burbs. So deal with that. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, high in the low 50s, lows in the low 40s. Tomorrow night, a little bit warmer.
Oh, it's just like you, D.
Friday gets better.
Low 40s.
High about 60 degrees, low in the mid 40s Friday night under cloudy skies. Saturday gets even better. Still cloudy, highs in the mid 60s.
Again, it's just like you, D.
Spring.
I'm very excited about it.